And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, too.
It's always exciting to go into a new year. Things are different and yet the same. I don't feel any differences from last year, but hopefully this coming year is going to be a better one. Hopefully. It's been a tough grind for all of us. And yet there's some good things that have happened this past year as well. I didn't come here to talk about those good things, except for one. One is really, really good. Actually, there's 33 of them, but we can only deal with one this morning. They're all in the Word of God, and these are all things that happen the moment we first have saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are 33 things that happen. People always want to know, well, what are the 33? I didn't bring a list with me today. Maybe if I remember, somebody can remind me, I'll bring the list, or better yet, why don't I send it and it can be copied and people can get it somehow, some way? That might be a better way to do it. But we're going to look at one of them this morning. And the one we're looking at is reconciliation. And we're going to be looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But there was a terrible fight. It was a horrible fight. And the two sisters, Heidi and Erica, stopped talking to each other. They couldn't stand the sight of each other. They didn't want to be close together, but they had a big problem. They could only afford a room between them. It's a big room, but still, it's a room. Neither one was willing to move out of the room, because that would mean her sister won. They're going to stay in the room. So they get a piece of chalk, and they divide the room in half. They divide it up in such a way that they both have equal access to the kitchen. They both have equal access, well, to everything. But still, they're inside this room. After a while, chalk loses its effectiveness. So they had to get some tape. And they had this big red tape take the place of the chalk. Each could come and go as she pleased. And in the black of the night, in the middle of the night, each one could hear her foe breathing. But they wouldn't talk to each other. Neither one was willing to take the first step towards reconciliation. It's a tragic waste. Just simply a waste. Two people that grew up together, that should be close to one another, that should have love between themselves, are divided. It is a tragic waste of two lives. Now, the Bible tells us that things can be different. It tells us that we are reconciled with God because we have received His favor. And the scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do not do so any longer. Therefore, if anyone is in new Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our Heavenly Father, as we look at this beautiful passage in your word, we ask that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to understand. Help us to understand what this marvelous thing is that you have done for us and that you have given to each one who has saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to look at that important word, reconcile, which is in verses 18 to 20, six times. It is written as reconciled, reconciliation, and reconciling. The root idea of to reconcile is a change of attitude or relationship. It's a change. In the New Testament, this is applied to several different kinds of relationships. For example, it is applied to husbands and wives. And sometimes there are serious differences and difficulties in a marriage relationship. And the apostle in 1 Corinthians in the 7th chapter explains that the ideal is to be reconciled to one another. Another, reconciliation is applied to Jews and Greeks. There was a barrier standing between them. They either disliked or were mistrustful of each other. But now, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, that barrier's been taken away. It's been removed. And they are reconciled with one another and have fellowship together. And then it's applied to diverse elements in the universe. One day, everything will be reconciled into unity through the Lord Jesus Christ. But what place does reconciliation have in Christianity? Well, the heart of being a Christian is to be in a right relationship with God. That is to be reconciled to the Lord. Now, this doesn't happen naturally because sin separates him from us, or rather, sin separates us from him. It is sin that comes between God and us, and it's a barrier that we can't get across. Now, sometimes we can see this in some family relationships. It can be seen in a sitcom. It's quite a common one. Got two people that don't talk to one another. They just refuse to say anything to one another, but they have things to say, but they won't talk to one another. Someone else comes into the room and given instructions. Tell your father, and the message is delivered. And then, well, tell your mother, and it goes back and forth like this. They can both hear what the other is saying, but no way are they going to talk directly to each other. And there's this third party that is running interference all the time, trying to, it can make for a really hilarious situation in a comedy, but it's not hilarious in real life. It's a tragedy. A family has fallen apart and is no longer operating as a family. They are alienated from one another. And in our fallen state, we are alienated from God. And that is caused by sin. And alienation sets us on a path leading to a bad attitude towards the Lord. Ever met people with a bad attitude towards God? I'm sure you have. the bad attitude towards God, we refuse to submit to His way of doing things. With a bad attitude towards God, it leads to evil deeds. People lie, cheat, say bad things, and are selfish. With a bad attitude towards God, there is a progression. It moves from resentment to hostility to deeds and widens the gap between us and God. It's a situation that doesn't please the Lord. And we have become the objects of divine wrath. Not the kind of things we like to talk about, but that's the situation in our natural state. And His judgment rests on humanity. The whole thing is a mess. It's a serious mess. It's a matter of life and death. And someone has to take the first step in reconciliation. Someone has to do that. And thankfully, God took that step. It was to close the gap between God and us that Jesus came. And when on earth, He did breathtaking things. I mean, these things are incredible. We read about them in the gospel. We read about these things so often that we don't really pay attention to how incredible it is. But think about it. Think if we were able to put ourselves in the first century. And we were there when Jesus opened the eyes of a blind man. Isn't that incredible? Imagine someone hasn't been able to see at all his entire life can suddenly see. Or what about that blind man there? He crawls everywhere he goes, drags himself everywhere he goes, and suddenly he's standing on his feet, jumping up and down. It's incredible. Or people that are hungry, thousands of people, hungry. And He feeds every one of them. And there's leftovers. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't that be something to actually see that? Not read about it, but to see it? When Jesus was here, He did amazing things. He not only did miracles, but He taught people about God. He taught them about God's love. He talked about how much God cares for them. He taught them how to pray. He taught them how to help other people. Incredible things. He was a light in a world of darkness. Things were happening that had never happened before. And no matter All these incredible things Jesus did not satisfy God's wrath. Did not. It was when He died on the cross and He took the sins of us, ours, on Himself. And He was there with His arms wide open, spread apart, nails, bleeding, terrible things happen to him. And all that sin comes on him. And Jesus becomes the sin bearer. And He takes the wrath of God on Himself. He took it. So that when we have faith in Him, we don't have to go through that. We won't go through that. Because He did it for us. That satisfies God's wrath. And the good news is that the Lord Jesus closes that gap. He is willing and able to bring us into a right relationship with God. And when we place our faith in the Lord Jesus and repent, God forgives us. He cleanses us. He makes us whole. He makes us new. He makes us brand new. He makes us new creations. and we are no longer estranged from God. Estrangement gives way to prayer. At one time, we would never think to pray. Wouldn't think about it. Unless it was a last gasp, reaching out for something, trying something, even though we know it's not going to work. That's the only time we would ever think of praying. But that's changed. Now we delight in prayer. We want to pray. We wake up in the morning and prayer is on our minds. Throughout the day we pray. We're constantly praying. Estrangement gives way to fellowship. At one time, we never wanted to be with God. No, we wanted our freedom. We wanted to be able to do whatever we wanted. We didn't want to have to answer to anybody. But now, all that has changed. We want to be with the Lord. We don't want to be separated from Him. Hostility gives way to faith. At one time, we wanted to fight God. Now, we couldn't do it by hitting Him. Oh, but we could do it. We could do it by being hostile. We could do it by treating Him as if He doesn't exist, or if He does, He's not important. How would we feel if someone we loved treated us as if we're not important? That would hurt, wouldn't it? That would hurt deeply. Now, that's the way we used to treat God. But that's changed. Now we have faith in Him. Now we trust Him to do what is good for us, what's good for our families, and for our world. And then rebellion. Rebellion gives way to obedience. At one time, we thought that the laws and the rules of God were bad for us. We thought He just put these things on because He's a meanie and He wants to control us and He wants to take all the joy and all the happiness away from life. We used to think that way, but that's changed. Now we see that they are meant for our good, and we thank God for them. They keep us out of a lot of trouble. Those changes are the result of reconciliation. Reconciliation means a change. It means a return to favor with God. And reconciliation is based on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. His wonderful message of love was not enough to bring us into a right relationship with God. We can love people by doing all kinds of amazing things for them. We can feed them. We can clothe them. We can go and see them in the hospital or in a nursing home. We can give them resources. We can give them money. We can train them so they can work. We can do all those kinds of loving things and more. But they're not good enough. They aren't good enough because we are not alienated from them. They, like us, are alienated from God. And that's the real problem. He is holy. We are not. And the gap between us and God can only be closed by the sacrificial death of the Son of God. The bottom line is, we are reconciled to God by the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we have faith in Him. Now that brings us to a question. Who is the reconciler? In every religion, except Christianity, people try to appease God. They are constantly doing things to make God accept them. They try to appease Him, but it doesn't work because God is not appeased by anything that we do. He is deeply offended. we don't understand how offended God is because we live in a sinful world. We see sin all around us. Everywhere we go, we see it. It's there. Most of the time, we don't recognize it because we are so used to it. And we ourselves step out of line and we sin against the Lord. And we don't understand how offensive that is to a holy God. It's an insult to Him. He's holy and we are not. It's like light and darkness. They're opposites. He's holy. We are not. Every moment of every day, the Lord God is offended by what people do. And there is nothing we can do to earn His favor. Now, religion says, do, 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 and you do enough, maybe God will be happy with you. It's a lie. But it's what religion says. Christianity says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. Reconciliation is God's work. It isn't ours. He's the one who's offended. He's the only one who can offer reconciliation. And that is a fact that many people find impossible to accept. They want to prove themselves worthy. They want to do something. They do all kinds of good things. They want to do in order to gain favor with God. And what they're trying to do is reach up to God and bring Him down to where they are. They want to do it themselves because they think they know better. And that is a good definition of religion. People reaching out to God to drag Him down to where they are. And that is an outrage to the God of the Bible. The Bible makes it clear that it is our sin that separates us from God. It is not God's sin that separates Him from us. No, the responsibility for our situation with God rests solely with us. And for that reason, only God can reconcile. So who is the reconciler? It's the one who's offended. It is the Lord God Almighty. He is the one. And there's a paradox, a strange thing. God reconciles those He recognizes up to the moment of reconciliation as enemies. And yet, He loves them. Now that's something else to think about. We are so used to the love of God that at times we don't understand how incredible that is. So try to imagine something like this. The absolutely worst person ever imaginable, in the way she talks, the way she dresses, the way she carries on, the way she does everything. It just turns you off every time you see her. Someone else sees exactly the same person and goes over to them and covers them with a coat and gives them a hug. One person is turned off completely. The other person has love. God has love for us. No matter what we did in the past, no matter how we were conducting our lives, no matter what, God loved us. That's an incredible thing. We don't understand the depth of the love of God. When Jesus was on that cross, it's love that kept him there. It wasn't nails that kept him up there. It was love. He loved you. He loved you. And he wanted to be reconciled with you. And he knew that you couldn't do it, but he could. So he paid the price. God is the reconciler. Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Do you remember that name? Elizabeth Barrett Browning. When I was in high school, I had to memorize several of her poems. You may have had to do the same. And I can remember having to stand up in front of the class and reciting a poem. You never knew which poem it was going to be. Those English teachers are tricky. Sneaky people. You had to memorize these three poems, and you're going to be asked to recite one of them in front of the entire class, and you didn't know which one it was going to be. It took a long time to appreciate what Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote because of all those assignments. Well, there's an interesting story about her, not well known. Her parents disapproved of her marriage to Robert. And they disowned her. They wouldn't have anything to do with her. And almost weekly, she wrote a love letter and sent it to her mother and her father, asking for reconciliation every week for years. After 10 years, a large box is delivered to her. It's from her parents. And excitedly, she tears open this box. And inside, every letter she had written for the past 10 years was in that box, and not one had been opened. Today, those poems are considered amongst the best in classical English literature. Imagine what could have happened if her parents had opened a few of those letters and read her poems. Would reconciliation have taken place? God has written a love letter to us. His love letter is the Bible. And it's something that we need to open and read on a regular basis. Because this is God's love for us, described there, of how he does everything possible to be reconciled to sinful people. Everything possible. Held nothing back. And we read about it when we open the pages of our Bibles and we read and let God speak to us through those words on the page. And we respond to him in prayer. And there's this communication going back and forth, a communication in fellowship and in love and being reconciled together, being family. We have a heavenly Father. And we are his sons and his daughters, his children. The message in the Bible is clear. By nature, we are alienated and estranged from God. But thankfully, the Almighty God, full of mercy and grace, took the first step and made it possible for us to be reconciled to him. And it is our responsibility to respond in faith to his invitation. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, our Lord, we confess daily that we sin, and daily we ask for forgiveness. And you, in your mercy and your grace, you grant us forgiveness and you wash us clean every day. And you never wander away from us, although we wander away from you. And you always call us back to yourself, and we are reconciled. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you so much for not giving up on us, but constantly being faithful and reconciling us. We are so glad that we are in the family of God. Amen. Amen.